stressful as a granddaughter, and there's a lot of feelings of guilt. I don't know if you can relate to that, because it's like you want to be able to do more than you can, but it's kind of out of a lot of the time it's out of our control. But I do remember it being really stressful for my mum, and at that point she organised some extra care and respite for my granny, a kind of company that functions and works in Cornwall, and they now go in at least twice a day to help just with everyday tasks for my granny. So I don't know, kind of getting her out of bed and making sure she's eating at least breakfast, lunch and dinner, and going for walks, going to Tesco to kind of fill her fridge, all those things that weren't in place before. So I can relate to that, because I think really you just want them to be safe and I suppose as happy as possible.
We did something pretty similar with Gramps. I think his carers only came once a day. It might have been twice, but we really struggled because Gramps couldn't tell the time. Well, he could tell the time, but he didn't understand clocks anymore. He didn't understand what time of the day it was. He didn't understand if we said the carers are coming at 11 a.m., make sure you're there. He didn't understand that. And then we try, okay, so we'll ring him half an hour before and say that they're going to be there in half an hour. And he still didn't understand. So we couldn't, and I think we probably would have tried to do this for as long as possible, just have carers coming into his house. But we couldn't really do that. It didn't work for Gramps. So I was wondering, how does that work with your granny? How do you know that she's necessarily at home when the carers are coming? Or are there any additional measures that you've had to put into place to make that kind of work? Or do you think it's just because she's not quite as declined, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's both. So I do think that her decline has only got to a certain level yet, and time will tell kind of how quickly that continues. But we do have a camera that's set up. She lives in a kind of one up, one down cottagey type building. So we have like a camera that has online access for the people who own it. So my mum and my uncle. And from the angle of the camera, you can kind of monitor her daily movements, and it will ping somebody, whoever's phone is connected to this camera, it will ping them whenever somebody walks past the camera. So, and obviously the notifications can be turned on and off, or, you know, whatever, so that you can almost dial out psychologically of the app if you need to. But it allows kind of my granny to be monitored day to day, and the camera coupled with the twice daily carer that pops in to see my granny at the moment seems to kind of be functioning. But I suppose, like we've been talking this whole time, you don't really know when the next turn is going to happen. And so obviously we're as dialed into her kind of symptoms and her life as possible. But, you know, it's so different case to case, isn't it? Yeah. With my granny, it's like she's not, in most of our opinions, not ready. And to be honest, in the professional opinion of multiple doctors that I know my mum's had advice from, not ready to go into a care home. Her decline isn't quite there yet.
Yeah.
But it can be such a struggle with this condition. I'm sure you can relate with your gramps. Like, it's difficult to know when to move them on to that next stage of care. I don't know if you feel like that with your gramps and his kind of gradual movement into full-time care.
Yeah, very similar. So the first home that we moved gramps into, it had different tiers of dementia patient. So he was in the least advanced, if you like, and we still found that he was probably, it might have been a little bit premature in terms of his like physical ability, because he was wanting to move around and wanting to walk and go outside and stuff still, whereas most of the people that were on in his wing, if you like, were a lot less physically able, but probably the same level of mental decline. So I think that was definitely one of the biggest challenges. You feel so guilty about him being in this home, and him, I remember when we turned up one of the days and he was walking around, and because he likes to walk around, he's quite an active, he's relatively active, but he couldn't remember where his room was. So he had the physical ability to be walking around and get himself lost, but not the mental capacity to be able to re-find his room. And you just think, gosh, how long has he been walking around like that for, not being able to find his room? Because nobody's going to notice, because he is quite physically active. It could just look like he's on a walk. And I think that's one of the hardest things. And seeing him in that specific home that didn't suit him at all, was it was yeah, it was a really difficult period for my mum in particular, because I think we had all expected, and we'd been on the tour and we loved the home and we thought, yeah, this is going to be great. This is exactly what we need, some additional support. And then for it to not quite live up to that expectation and not be the right fit for Gramps, it was heartbreaking, really. And to see him just not living the life that we kind of thought he would in this home. And also when you factor in the fact that moving them disrupts them even more, and you're thinking, gosh, what if we move him to another home and it's still not right? And it turned out that we did move him to another home, and it's a perfect fit for him. The people there are so lovely. They take him out for walks. He goes and sits outside in the sunshine. They even take him to the pub. And that's what he needed, really. And the first home just wasn't the right fit. And seeing how that impacted my mum was definitely, you just want to do everything you can to help. And we did. Me and my sister went round both of the homes, and we try and support as much as we can, but it always just feels like you're not quite doing enough.
I think that's the kind of cruel, I don't know, I can really relate to that, the feeling of not doing enough. And there is, to an extent, only so much you can do, but I definitely think there can be feelings of guilt. At least I've kind of had that.
I think the guilt comes from a number of different places. I'd say for me, I was still at university at this point. So when you leave, it's like, oh gosh, I don't know, next time I come home, what the decline will have been. And I think for people that are seeing him regularly, you might actually notice it slightly less. But going away for a term, I felt guilty for leaving because I should be supporting, well, Gramps more, but also mum more, because I knew how much she was taking on pretty much on her own. But also that guilt, like, just not knowing what I was going to come back to is quite a difficult feeling to deal with, I think.
I mean, it's like the layer of having, you know, before even bringing Alzheimer's into the conversation, I think so many people can relate to that, of going to uni and coming back and not knowing the kind of state that your grandparent might be in when you come back. But then when you add the layer of the illness on top, it can be quite overwhelming, I think. But I mean, it's the difficult balance, really, isn't it? And I think it does sound like you've got such a good balance of kind of supporting your mum and your gramps whilst also making sure you're fulfilling yourself and doing all the things that are still really important to be doing. And, you know, it's such a difficult balance. There's a lot of guilt that comes with having a grandparent with Alzheimer's, I think.
That's one of the biggest things that I've experienced. It just feels like you can never really do enough. And you want to do even small things to help, if that's like make sure that he's got like a roast dinner, or sometimes like my mum will go and pick him up from his care home and I'll be like, okay, I'll take him back, because yeah, it's only 20 minutes down the road, but you drive 20 minutes to pick him up, 20 minutes back with him, 40 minutes, and then you've got to do the same again in the evening. Yeah, I think that's definitely something that I'm just trying to do everything I can to help where possible. And a kind of link to that, the feeling of almost like helplessness, not really knowing what you can do to support, so only doing small things. This is maybe relevant. I did some charity work for Alzheimer's Research UK, and that was really rewarding. It really felt like I was not necessarily helping Gramps directly, but kind of contributing to the future of Alzheimer's. So I did a 2-week hike to Everest Base Camp and raised money for Alzheimer's Research UK with lots of my uni friends. And the reason that I signed up for it was because of the charity, because I wouldn't have wanted to spend the money on going to Nepal and the flights and all that if it wasn't for such a great cause. And the walking itself was really difficult, and every day just thinking like, okay, but I am raising money for this amazing charity. I might not be able to help as much in the day-to-day, but just feeling like I might be able to help in the future, I guess, and what those kind of hopes are for the future. Have you got any ideas in that realm?
I mean, in terms of hopes for the future, obviously there are so many clinical trials in developing drugs for the condition and all that sort of thing. And I mean, I am not a scientist, but at the moment I think it's just the only way you know you might be susceptible to the diseases the generations before you, I think, right? And kind of how likely you are to get it. So there are so many moments I have just in Granny's house where if I'm spending time with her and there are things that might be going wrong, I'm interested to know how tech and AI might end up being used. Not just, obviously, there are, you know, already clinical trials happening where AI is being used to kind of accelerate and probably streamline the research happening in those trials for the drugs. But I mean, in a more practical sense of day-to-day life and living for people with the condition, mm-hmm. I am interested in if there'll be movements towards using technology in people's homes, AI tools in people's day-to-day that could optimize the way that they live.
Yeah, and also I guess to make it easier for the carers as well, like that could be used, the technological advancements to make it easier for people who aren't necessarily a 5-minute drive away from their loved ones that might be suffering. And whether those kind of advancements will be available in the future, that's really interesting to see.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a human condition that requires human interaction and human care and all those kinds of things. But yeah, like there are definitely parts of the care system and the way that, or just the way that my granny experiences care as day to day, and also just experiences living in her own home, home security, and I don't know, just simple things in terms of like having a system where things don't get lost and having sound alarms kind of connected to different, you know, like your keys or your wallet, or I mean, I know AirTags exist and that kind of thing, but it's just interesting how bits of tech, obviously Find My Friends has been an app on iPhone for years, but we definitely started using it when my granny began kind of wandering around at night. And my mum has my granny on Find My Friends on her iPhone, and she also has an AirTag on my granny's keys and wallet to kind of keep an eye on those kinds of things. And obviously that's a really basic use of tech, but I wonder if, can you relate to that in any way of your gramps? Did you ever go through a stage of kind of having him on a tracker on your phone or anything like that?
So I can remember specifically getting an AirTag, and the biggest challenge we faced was that gramps would forget to take his phone, so we couldn't track his phone, and his phone was also super old, and obviously we couldn't change his phone because he can't pick up how to do new tasks. So we thought that would be very complicated if he went from, gosh, I don't know, iOS 4 to iOS 11. So we couldn't track his phone, but we did get an AirTag, and we would attach it to his keys or things like that. And it did work for a short period of time until he would start to forget his keys, for example. And then mum would put it in his trench coat that he always wore. And that did turn out to actually be the best method, because he did love his coat. So it worked in one sense, but it also just wasn't quite enough because it would be the middle of the night, for example, and we wouldn't know that. Obviously, if you're not awake, you're not checking it. So we didn't know that he was leaving. We didn't have the alarm system in place, which is very clever.